This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. But do not cry, we will be back on Monday. And here's what we have on tap for this hour. Well, a bunch of different things. Yes, we're going to discuss some political things, some tranny stuff. Someone wants to discuss the Minoans. What do you do with your kids when they want to go to college? Cheddar Bay biscuits. Lady wants to talk about women having thinning hair. All that and so much more coming up on the final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. I want to touch on this, though, really quickly. This was Harrison Fields today.
He had the audacity to make Trans Visibility Month a proclamation on the day of Easter. I can tell you here, under President Trump's leadership, there will never be a Trans Visibility Month. And on Easter, we will be celebrating one man, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
It is nice having sanity back. And remember a lot of the things that you might feel like excusing as accidental are not at all accidental. Even if you don't want to fight a cultural war, even if you're not interested in it, the communists are interested in it, therefore you must. It's not up to you. I'm sorry, that sucks. But when it comes to being in a fight, it does not take two sides. If one side decides you're in a fight, you're in a fight. Why do you think the LGBTQ demon mob picked the rainbow? What do you think that was? You think it's an accident that they happened to pick a sacred symbol to Christians, to Jews, to people who believe that God flooded the earth and promised he wouldn't do it again? You think they just kind of stumbled into that? Hey, what if we used a rainbow? Do you think it's an accident the demons inside the Biden administration took Easter and made it Trans Visibility Month? It's not an accident. They constantly shout right in your face that they hate you and they're at war with you. What's holding us back is our willingness to acknowledge the fact. Now, things have changed. This is Maine's Governor Janet Mills. Communists will use a tactic. I want to bring this up before we get back to the emails. A tactic that you have run into, I guarantee it. If you are ever around Democrats, you will run into this one tactic. They use it all the time because they lie about everything at all times.
I think our reverence for the truth might have become a bit of a distraction.
Well, that's not happening, or it's not a big deal, or how does it affect you? I brought this up because the last time I got together with a group of friends, and one of my buddies brought his buddy, who's a Democrat, and I know him. It's not as if I don't know him. We're acquaintances. We've talked. Brought his Democrat buddy. My friends were going off about movies we were discussing, and about one of my buddies goes off and says, you can't even take the freaking kids to see anything anymore. Everybody's got a tranny or a gay love story now. You can't take the kids to anything anymore. I'm sick to death of all this stuff. And my buddy, the Democrat, his only contribution was he actually took all three of those things. Oh, that's not true. It's not every movie. And my other buddy freaks out and pulls up every single major motion picture and proves him wrong. And then as soon as he got proven wrong, remember, they will always move. They will always shift, right? As soon as he got proven wrong, he went with the, well, how does it affect you? Well, just don't go. Well, why do you have to take your kids to it? They love using these tactics. Here's Maine's governor who wants trannies to beat up your daughter in sports.
This isn't about who plays on the playing field, as I said, on the athletic field. This is also a diversionary tactic. You know in the media that the current administration is taking a lot of heat in other courts across this country, including in the District of Columbia right now and in Maryland right now. So to me, these kinds of actions and press conferences are a diversionary tactic. From what? From what the real issues are facing families across Maine, families across the United States.
It's just a diversionary tactic. Do you have a daughter? Are you concerned for her well-being? Are you concerned that Democrat politicians at every level, state, federal, local, believe that young boys should be able to shower with her? Are you concerned about that? That's not even happening, and it's just a diversionary tactic. You see, it's not important. It's not only not happening, but if it does happen, it's really rare. And even if it does happen, it's not important at all. Stop worrying about your daughter's safety. You see, Democrats love to use that tactic. I will again come back to this. When you debate them, don't allow them to change the subject. Do not get angry and raise your voice. They will try to get you to do that. That's also a tactic. They'll call you names. They'll lie, trying to get you off your footing. Do not raise your voice. Do not get angry, but be firm in not allowing them to change the subject or change the argument. In case you're wondering, yes, I stepped in when the Democrat was proven wrong about the LGBTQ Air Force storylines in all the movies, and then he immediately shifted to something else or tried to. I said, no, hold on, one second, wait. Before we move on, just to clarify, your argument was it's not happening. That's what you just said. And he just proved you wrong that it was happening. And he got so uncomfortable. Well, no, but I mean, it's not important. I said, no, stop. That's changing the argument. That's not what you argued. You just said that it's not happening. So it is happening. And what you just said was untrue, right? You should have seen him squirming around. Be firm with the communists in your life when they try to change the subject. Hey, Jesse, do you think the Minoans were the richest empire at the time with their purple garment monopoly? I don't know. I realize this goes into history nerd territory. I should probably explain. The Minoans were in ancient society. We're talking 2,000 years before Christ is what we're talking about here. Ancient society. They sound really cool. They're based on the island of Crete. One, any society that's based on an island, really freaking cool, right? The Minoans got their name, I believe if I remember right, from a king, Minos. They were stupid wealthy. There is evidence, archaeological evidence that we have that shows they were unbelievably modern for their time, as in they had pipes, water, sewer line. That is unbelievably advanced for that period of time, that the roads were paved, they had pipelines running through the place, a very, very, very advanced society. But I'll just make this final point on this because we're not going to go off on the Minoans. I don't want everyone to fall asleep at the wheel and drive their car off the road. Do you know why the color purple was considered a royal color? It was a color for royalty all the time. Roman emperors, everybody. In the ancient world, purple. If you had purple things on, you were really, really wealthy and usually had to be a king. The reason was, we don't think about this, but How do you get your colors back then? Now you want colors. You can walk into Walmart and get a different colored shirt, any color you want. But that's not how it worked back then. You had to have access to dyes. Well, if you wanted the color purple back then, I believe, don't quote me on this, but I think I'm right. I'm pretty sure it was a snail, a sea snail. You had to have access to, and imagine how many snails it would take to get a generous amount of dye. Even if these are large snails, how much dye can come out of a friggin' snail? And you think how labor intensive that would be. Even with ancient technology, you have to get out there on a boat. Anyway, it was very, very, very difficult to come up with a generous amount of purple dye. Therefore, if you had a generous amount of purple dye, then the wealthiest people on the planet would pay you ridiculous sums of money for that purple dye because it was so incredibly rare. So, how about that? That's why the color purple was considered a royal color. Like I said, we don't realize how many blessings we have. I don't. You don't. We don't realize how absurd it is that we can open up a cupboard in our kitchen. Everyone has a cupboard like this with spices. Endless quantities of it. I go home right now. I have cinnamon, salt and pepper. I've had all these things. Your spice cupboard alone, kings would have killed for in the ancient world. Make you feel better about your life? I bet it does. Chalk will make you feel better about your life. When you get full of energy, your mood goes through the roof. Chalk will change how you look at everything. When you are full of energy, when your mind works good, everything gets easier. Everything does. Even things that would stress you out, you'll tend to laugh off more, or you just put your head down and pull through it. Gentlemen, you realize a male vitality stack from Chalk will jack your T levels up 20% in 90 days? That's what it'll do for you. Go get a subscription. Consider this an Easter gift to yourself. A female vitality stack for the ladies, a male vitality stack for the men. 90 days. You give it 90 days, you'll email me like everyone else does. I feel so good. You want to feel good all the time? CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday. And yes, Chris, you are correct. That song is wonderful and it's way too long. There's no excuse for that song to be 9 minutes long. You could have shredded on that guitar, Ted, for 3-4 minutes and it would have been just as good. But people in all walks of life, it's not just musicians, maybe you do this too, people really, really struggle with the concept of leaving them wanting more. I try to tell my sons this all the time. I try to tell everyone in my life this. Leave them wanting more. When you're going to leave the party, don't leave 15 minutes too late. Leave 15 minutes too early. Leave the people saying to themselves, man, that's too bad. Jesse left. I wish she'd have stayed an extra 10 minutes. I was really enjoying Jesse tonight. Let's have another one. Always leave them wanting more. That's the rule. No, I don't want to listen to you guitar riff for 9 minutes. Write a 3 or 4 minute song and then leave. Dear Oracle, recently I picked up a couple of the Red Lobster Cheddar Bay biscuit boxes that some grocery stores now have available. We have boys, 3-in-1. They love biscuits, but they're used to the high-class biscuits that come from the can that makes a popping noise when you open it. My wife will help them put anything on there, peanut butter, jelly, whatever. We made the Cheddar Bay biscuits last night, and the boys insisted on putting grape jelly on the Red Lobster Cheddar Bay biscuits. I don't think I can stand for this sacrilege. Do I show them some tough love and kick them out of the house or let it slide? Kick them out of the house. And I say this as somebody who is, I've got my own wounds. I don't want you to think that my life is perfect by any stretch of the imagination. I'm gonna open up my heart to you really quickly. As painful as it may be, you're what I have. Okay? You, me, This is why we talk all day. My sons, James and Luke, overall, they're very good boys. They don't like queso. I know, Chris, I know. Who doesn't like queso? Or cheese dip, I guess, if you're in the Northeast or whatever. Everybody likes queso. And it's not as if they don't like a particular queso. Queso, they don't like it. Any of it. What, Chris? Chris said, do they like cheese on a burger? They do. They do. Of course they do. They request Jesse Kelly burgers all the time. American cheese. They eat cheese on pizza. Ob will make meatball subs to put cheese on them on there. The Ob's homemade hamburger helper, drowning in cheese. It's not as if they're anti-cheese. They will not take a chip and dip it in queso. And I'm so disappointed in them. And you know, you can point out, well, they're good people or the good grades and they're hard workers and they're well-mannered. I don't care about that. How can you not like queso? What's wrong with you? And not only that, they're in general, they're pretty sauce hesitant in general. Even things like a hot sauce or something, a soy sauce, maybe if you got something. No, I don't want that. No, I don't want that. Who doesn't like a sauce? I don't understand. I don't understand it. And I've worked hard. I realize I have not been a perfect father, but I feel like I've worked hard to try to teach them values. I feel like I'm not father of the year, but I've tried. You don't like queso? And then I get accused of being a food bully by Ob and the kids, because let me tell you something. I'm not that nice about it. When I get a queso or something like that, and Ob will sometimes have a dip or something, but when I'm the only one having any, I have some tough things to say to the kids, some really tough things. So yes, your 3 and 1 year old, kick them out of the house. Get rid of them now. You don't need them anymore. If I have to give you a quick homemade Jesse Kelly white trash recipe, here's one for you. I think I've told you this before. Red Lobster's Cheddar Bay biscuit mix is sold in grocery stores. Buy some of that. Make Cheddar Bay biscuits. Or if you go to Red Lobster, as I do, ask for a to-go bag. Red Lobster's lovely. They'll give you a to-go back of them. Make your Cheddar Bay biscuits. In the morning, take 2 Cheddar Bay biscuits. Drop them in a cereal bowl. Go to the stove. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to make 2 or 3 over-easy eggs. Make sure they're over-easy. You need them yolky, okay? Once you drop the biscuits in the bowl, take some sort of shredded cheese, doesn't matter, cheddar, whatever. Drop a chunk of shredded cheese on top of the biscuits. Over easy eggs. Fry them up in a pan. Take them off. Drop them on top of the cheese so they can start the melting process. Take a piece of aluminum foil. Put it over the bowl immediately. What you're trying to do is trap the heat in to get more melty cheese. And then quickly, it'll only take you a minute or two. Little bit of flour. Little bit of milk. Little bit of Cajun seasoning of some kind from your spice drawer, which you have because it's the year 2025. Really quickly, I don't even know if it counts as a gravy or a roux or whatever. I'm not a cook. Whip that up in the frying pan where the eggs and the butter were. Little bit of that. It's just quick. Whip it up. You have to whip it up really fast or it'll chunk up on you. Now you have like a Cajun gravy type thing. Take that frying pan, foil off, pour that gravy over the bowl of eggs, cheese, biscuits. Grab a fork or a spoon, it doesn't matter, and dice it all up. Get that yolk and gravy all over the place. It's going to look like dog vomit when you're done, and it's going to taste like the best thing you've ever eaten in your life. Congratulations. That's Jesse Kelly's White Trash Biscuits and Gravy. More questions next.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Friday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Tom Holman, sounding good out there.
We hope people take advantage of it, especially those who are in the United States who don't have an order of deportation yet. Because if we have to go through the process of going through the courts, getting an order of deportation, and we have to find you and remove you, then you have a bar from reentering. So we want people, if you're in the country, go home, do things the right way. Then you don't have that bar placed against you. So if you have a U.S. citizen child, he can petition for you. If you want to come in on a work visa or visitor's visa or come in some sort of, you know, some sort of other status, maybe as a student, coming to the country the right way, that leaves that ability open for you. But if you get formally deported, there's automatic bar set against you. So people take advantage of it.
I have said before, I don't like this, you know, you can come back type thing, but I think I understand what they're doing. At least I hope I do. This is trying to incentivize the masses to get out. And that, of course, is the goal. Tulsi Gabbard continues to release these hidden files.
And what we have just released here today is 10,000 pages that have been sitting in boxes within the National Archives that had never been digitized or viewed publicly before. These are documents related to the government's investigation into the assassination, documents related to discussions that were going on in other countries, State Department cables around the assassination. We're obviously not stopping here. We discovered 10,000 pages at National Archives. We sent people out to hunt through different warehouses at the FBI and CIA, knowing there are likely other documents that have not yet been turned over to National Archives. And I tell you, just the other day, we discovered over 50,000 additional pages solely around Senator Kennedy's assassination, that we have over 100 people at National Archives going through and scanning. And that will be the second release that we'll have here shortly.
Don't you think it's odd, just kind of weird, that there's all these JFK files they're still finding and releasing, and there's not a lot of new information in them? Like the last batch they dropped, there were some names and things like that, but it wasn't as if we knew something, we know something now that we didn't before. And there were a lot of people who have theories around it, myself included, I've told you mine, that felt like the drop kind of reinforced some of their beliefs. I don't think anybody had a belief before that they then discounted after the files were released. So if there's nothing groundbreaking in this, and this is going to go back to us, our social contract with our government, if there's nothing groundbreaking, then why did you keep it hidden forever? Don't you find that so odd? I find it odd and I find it frustrating, because it's wild how consistent it is in history that governments, once they turn evil and corrupt and the country kind of starts to shake apart, that you can see in hindsight, 2020, you can see, you can look back and say, hey, stop, open up the books, open up, be open and honest with the people. That is what will gain their trust back. Be open with them. Stop covering things up. Stop doing that. Earn the people's trust back by being open, and they never do it. They never do it. They all go the exact opposite way. Instead, it's more secrecy, more force, more lies, and that, of course, pushes the country closer to the end than it would have been before. Remember, Donald Trump wanted to release the JFK files during his first 4 years. Mike Pompeo begged him, allegedly, not to do it, and he didn't do it. Why? There's nothing world-changing in here. As I've said before, all the world-changing stuff got shredded, deleted, and they murdered anyone who could have verified it a long time ago. Why would you work so hard to keep some pretty benign documents secret? The only thing that does is increase the public distrust. And until that link happens again, I was about to say until the link gets stronger, but the link has been broken. The link between the American public and their government has been broken. COVID finished it off. The American people do not trust their government now. 20 years ago, if I said the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, to you, you would pay attention. Now you roll your eyes. Oh, gosh, here we go. Those liars again. The public trust in our government has been shattered. And I do give credit to a lot of credit to Trump, to his administration, Tulsi Gabbard, these types, for opening things up. And Kash Patel, who I know everyone is frustrated with right now. And honestly, I'm a bit frustrated myself, as I've said. But Kash Patel has opened up a lot of documents as well. This needs to continue. This is how we get the trust back in our government. Dear Banana Hands, I have two children, one boy and one girl. They're still young, but college for them is on my mind. What are your thoughts on online college? It will keep them away from communists corrupting them, especially my little girl. But does it look good on an application having a degree from an online college? Dude, it looks fine. No one gives a crap where you graduated college. Unless your dream, I should qualify that, unless your dream is to be a big shot attorney at a big shot law firm or finance or medicine, those three fields, the big prestigious universities, you know, the Harvards of the world, the Stanfords, the Wharton School of Business, the big shot, super important schools seem to be the best pipeline in the world in order to go into the highest levels. Now, I didn't say you had to go to those schools to be a doctor or a lawyer or in finance. A lot of people work in those fields, and they don't want to be part of some big prestigious New York City law firm. But if you want to walk out of law school and walk right into, I don't know, Chris and Chris, the law firm in New York City, you're probably going to have gone to a big boy law school plus have a reference. But beyond that, who cares if it's online? Look, I'll tell you what we're doing. We're already planning that. College is not only expensive, but my boys are not immune to social contagions. They're strong. They know what they believe. But I worry for my sons the same way you worry for yours. Our intention is to keep them online or in a local community college if they insist on going to college. I really don't want them to go. But if they have a field where a college degree is required, I'm obviously not going to bar them from going. But we're going to keep them local. And we're going to keep them online as much as possible. No one cares where you graduated college. Nobody cares. And today, I don't know if you've been, we've talked about it on the show. I don't know if you've been paying attention to the headlines on it and stuff. Increasingly, employers, they don't even want you to have gone to college. There's a reason employers are dropping their degree requirements faster than they're adding them. America's companies are so disillusioned with the know-nothing communist losers they continue to get from college campuses that they are not adamant that you have a four-year degree before they hire you. A lot of sharp companies now, they're bringing in interns right out of high school, 18, 19. Hey, forget that. We'll give you a paid internship. Come learn the ropes. Let's get you before your mind gets completely poisoned by the communist college professor. Let's make sure you're part of our culture. You want to be here. That's the direction I'm going to push my sons, depending on what their passions are. Now, I don't know where they're going to end up. I don't know. Might end up in prison. But that's the direction I intend to go. I tell you this, wherever I send them, they're going to have Burna pistol launchers on them. I know that. Including college campus. You just saw what happened yesterday. You need to have a Burna pistol launcher on you at all times. But Daddy, I don't like guns. It's not a gun. It's non-lethal. Private security firms across the country carry Burna. SWAT teams across the country carry Burna. 14,000 4.5-star reviews for a reason. Over 500 government agencies carry Burna. You can carry Burna. By the way, they have a brand new compact that's about the size of a smartphone. It'll save your freaking life, and it'll stop a very bad man. BYRNA. Don't just buy it. Carry it. Carry it. Get one for yourself and the person you love the most. I love having a non-lethal option. BYRNA. Burna.com/Jesse gets you a fat discount. Burna.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a spectacular Friday. I hope you were getting ready to go into a wonderful Easter weekend where we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, Chris. Anyway, let's do a couple more emails before we check out of here. Dear Jesse, this lady says the subject is women losing their hair. I love your show. I listen as much as I can. You just said that women should never cut their hair off really short. I'm 67 years old. I look very good. I love this lady already. Even not considering my age, I bet you this lady is a total smoke, Chris. And I bet you when she was about 40, she could make you weak in the knees. Anyway, however, I am and have been losing my hair since my early 50s. I would estimate I'm down to about a third of what I had in my 20s and 30s. Shouldn't I, at some point, cut it short? Even on women, I think long hair that's very thin looks ridiculous. What do you think? I'd agree with that. Look, my argument has always been against the dudes, that when your hair starts to go, cut it short, and dudes do the opposite. They'd make it longer and try to wrap it around or whatever, when everyone can tell. I did the look, just cut it off like I did. All right, just cut it off and let it go. For ladies, Yeah, I would probably agree you should maybe shorten it up. I'll tell you what else is underrated on ladies. Hats. I love when Ob wears a hat. Should throw on a little cowboy hat or a little baseball cap or something like that. And women love dumb hats and stuff like that. They're big on all that stuff. Dear Jesse, I remember a time when reporters asked questions without having to read them off their phone. It looks like someone else is writing their questions for them. My point is journalists used to know of what they were asking, hence a good follow-up. Am I right? Well, you are right, and you're not imagining it. Reporters used to be able to ask questions without reading the question. You know why that is, right? Communists control their language. Their language is highly, highly controlled, as we've discussed so many times. Every single word, when you lie about everything at all times, you know that every word has to be carefully selected to make sure it's just right, just deceitful enough, just manipulative enough, just you has to be just right. So if you're a reporter, you understand that you not only have to be a communist, you are surrounded by communists, your fellow reporters, in whatever newsroom you're in, your producer, your editor, they're all communists too. And if you, let's say you're just speaking off the cuff, maybe you wanted to ask about an illegal immigrant. What if you accidentally said that word? That word is such a big deal. Democrats are so, so banking on protecting these people and bringing them into the country that Joe Biden, the president himself, had to go on a media apology tour when he called one an illegal during the State of the Union. If you're a reporter, let's say you're a White House reporter who says that word, you might get fired. And the left, they would come for you. Did you hear what this lady at CBS says? Dump her, fire her, dehumanizing immigrants. That could cost you your job. That's how gross that world is. And I've said this. You're happier than communists. You should take heart in that. And this is part of the reason. It is such a nasty, highly controlled environment that you are afraid all the time of your own people. It's not just the Nazis on the right that you're afraid of. You are aware at all times that you're surrounded by wolves, and they might come rip you to shreds if you step out of line one time. These people are miserable at all times. You're not. You're happy. Smile. Dear Jesse, if there's one person on the radio who isn't afraid to call it like they see it, it's you. I know you speak out against corruption and abuse of power. So what do you make of these insane stock market gains people made, especially the ultra wealthy, as a result of the 90-day tariff pause announcement from Trump? I voted for him all three times. I'm grateful for what he's done for the United States. But this one reeks of ill-begotten gains, and I think it should be investigated. I really don't want us to have a say it ain't so, Joe, moment in this country. But it feels suspicious. Thoughts? Well, I think you have every right to be suspicious. When we got a big announcement that there were going to be these tariffs, the Fortune 500 world, the big business world, freaked out. It was a universal freak out, a global universal freak out. And remember, we had two or three days where I was getting the same phone calls and text messages you were getting. Did you see my 401k? Did you see how much money we lost? I went to, that was the weekend of the Final Four. We went out to watch the Final Four game with a group of neighbors. Every one of them came up to me, Jesse, you should see what's happening. What's Trump doing? So there was immediately this global financial panic. He can't do it. He can't do it. He can't do it. And then it lasted two or three days. Well, the market dips for two or three days. Rich people buy when the market dips. It's not new. That's what they do. Honestly, it's what smart people do. You buy on the dip. They bought on the dip. And then Trump came out and said, wow, I mean, hey, this is mainly about China and everyone's negotiating. We'll let you 90-day pause on all that. Market stabilizes, market goes back up. I'm not here to tell you not to be suspicious. But I have something else that might even be darker as we round out the show here to think about. What if the American president, no matter who he is, what if he is so handcuffed by the corrupt global system that has been put into place, that there's very little he can actually do to change that much. Even if he's completely committed to it, the various global systems, financial and otherwise, they're too powerful. They have too many things in place. They have the ability to ruin you or ruin your reputation or your presidency in some way. And even if you have all the right ideas, and no one has all the right ideas, right? But even if you have all the right ideas and maybe you believe in it all the way and you know where you want to go, what if the system is so evil and corrupt that you can't make the changes you want to make? Look at the FBI right now. You think Dan Bongino doesn't want to make the changes you want to make? Dan Bongino is a stud. He wants to do the right thing. I hope he can. Maybe he's in a situation where he just can't. I don't know. That was a little heavy. Go celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. I'll see you Monday. That's all.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.